Engineering management can be a lonely place. Welcome to Managers Club, where you'll find interviews with top engineering leaders and managers to help and inspire you. Listen to the real-life stories of successful and ambitious engineering leaders who are focused to lead their teams to bigger and better outcomes. This is Managers Club.
This afternoon, I have with me Jorge Salas. Welcome to Managers Club.
Thank you, Vidal.
Jorge, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Born and raised in Chicago of Mexican immigrant folks, I went to school at UIC, which is the University of Illinois at Chicago, and I got my Bachelor's of Science in Computer Science from the College of Engineering.
Where do you work now, Jorge?
I work at the Federal Home Loan Bank of Chicago, and I'm an application development manager there. I manage about 10 people of various roles. So we have junior developers, mid-level developers, senior developers, architects, scrum masters, systems analysts, and the quality engineers.
How did you get into management originally?
Good question. So I started as a developer, learned a lot of good things from very talented software engineers. As I went through my time of being a developer, consultant, co-founder, I got my first management opportunity at a Fortune 500 finance company called Northern Trust. And after being a tech lead for 2 years, they wanted someone to manage a team of two. I was in a way volunteered, and then I took it on and I started managing my first team of two, 50% management, 50% still being hands-on.
That's great. How did you find it?
I found it a little bit challenging, a little bit overwhelming at times. It's not the fact that I had a lot of work, but just the nature of the opportunity was that I was managing two of my peers that I've worked together with for several years. So it went from being peers and working side by side to being their manager. So that was a little bit, it took some time to get adjusted, but after some time we settled into our roles and I was able to be their manager in a very deep and very connected way because I really knew them well from an individual contributor perspective.
Yes, I've heard that can be a real challenge for people who transition to being a manager over their former peers. On that note, could you tell us what are the biggest challenges you face today as an engineering leader?
I think for me is staying current on new technology, especially on the user face and front-end frameworks. I feel that they change a lot and very often, usually a three-month cadence of new versions or even new technology frameworks altogether are not uncommon. So I think for me is just knowing, finding the right balance between details, but not being the coder per se, and be able to make informed decisions and being helpful to my team and not just being the manager who doesn't really know a whole bunch. So I think with coding, as with riding a bicycle, you exercise those skills by doing and practicing. So I think you have to find a way where you feel comfortable with the topic to be able to make informed decisions and have intelligent conversations with your team. So I think that for me is the biggest challenge, just keeping up with tech that changes so often.
What do you do to keep up with it? Do you work like on side projects or like small projects? What do you do?
I think for me, I do a combination of academic or theoretical training in addition to I may do a little bit, like I may do a tutorial, I may do hands-on stuff. I also try to immerse myself if it is an initiative or project that is using a new tech or could even be a new process, but I try to immerse myself a little bit deeper in that project. I think that's how I learned the most. And also just asking a lot of questions, asking why. And usually whatever framework it is, I've been lucky to have current frameworks tied to my past experience. So I try to connect the dots that way.
Okay, makes sense. Could you share with us a lesson you've learned as an engineering leader over the years?
I think one lesson I learned, and this happened while I was going through a performance review, and I was certain that I was going to get promoted to the next level in management. And yet for a couple of reasons, I was told no, and that I needed to focus on these couple of things. So one of the things was being a little bit closer to the tech that my team was working on. And I think this was further compounded by the fact that my manager, who was assessing me and telling me this, is that he himself was very detail-oriented. And in fact, at times, he went pretty deep on a couple of instances that kind of opened my eyes like, whoa, if he's in that deep, he may have those deeper expectations for me. So I learned that it's not, there's a balance of knowing enough about your team and what they're doing, but also knowing your manager and what is important to them. So for me, it was learning this after the fact and also not expecting a promotion or et cetera, a raise just because you've done X and Y and Z, but also being explicit and having that shared understanding between your manager and what you're looking to do and their expectations of you.
Boy, that's an interesting story. I've encountered like some directors or VPs who can really go really deep into details like that. And yeah, that can be a real challenge to deal with. So I feel you there at that moment. I've encountered people like that. A really important job, engineering manager job, obviously, is like hiring and recruiting. Could you say a little bit about how you approach hiring and recruiting? What do you do to succeed in that?
Yes, first and foremost, I'm a big stickler for communication and culture fits. And when you see excellent communication skills, verbal and written on a job description, for me, that's not another bullet item. I make it clear to the vendors I'm working with, HR that's helping me, and all the people on my interview team that this is important. So after that, in a close first, is I prioritize aptitude, attitude, and potential to learn over experience and tech skills. Now, that isn't always possible. And if it's not, maybe I try to look for a contractor if I'm looking at a specific skill set, but I try to hire someone for the long term. I look to mold and to upskill. And if I'm able to communicate and if I feel that I can get along with this person, if I feel that they're going to have the potential to learn and my team also feels the same as, yes, I can solve problems with this person, then that is first and foremost. The tech is the rest. We can train, we can upskill for tech, but personality, characteristics, and culture fit are things that you can't really train for.
I agree with you. A lot of the technology, of course, you can train them. But make you talk a little bit more, what do you do to assess this culture fit you're looking for, this ability to learn? Like, are there any specific things you look for, you ask?
Yeah, there's at least one or two things. The first one is if they don't have specific experience in the tech stack that you're recruiting for, then I look for comparable examples. A lot of times what people do is they work on a passion project that they're interested in, or they contribute to an open source project. And those are, to me, clear indicators that they have the initiative, the drive, and the passion to do that, because nobody's really telling them to do that. They're taking it upon themselves to go ahead and find those avenues to get that experience and to practice their craft. So I think that's one thing. The second thing, I like to ask open-ended questions. Like one of my favorites, I think I don't know if it came from Facebook or one of the FANG companies, an open-ended question, like all the good ones, and ask them, what would a good day, a good work day look for you? What would it look like for you if you came home and you had to tell your friends or family, hey, I had a really good day, what happened? And that kind of tells me what they prioritize, what they feel passionate about, what they feel strongly about. So I think those are a couple of ways that I assess their potential, and also having a very robust and a big interview team. Usually most of my developers are in the interview panel, and I usually get a good sample of feedback and data points from multiple people. It's not just one or two people.
Thanks for sharing that. That's an interesting question to ask. Like, what would a good day look like for them? What would be your advice for new managers who are just starting out?
I would say be patient, listen, and learn, and know that managing people may require different strategies per individual. My initial manager experiences were very daunting, and I had doubts, really, that I was going to be successful or even be respected. My first manager opportunity, like I shared before, I was managing peers, so there was a little bit of an awkwardness to begin with. Though they didn't want the job, my peers, the working experience changed because I would be responsible for their performance review, raises, career pathing. I also learned a lot of their personal information, which I didn't know beforehand. Eventually, we settled into our new roles and relationships, and I was able to review and assess them at a pretty, I don't know if anyone could have done it better, but it was just because I had that working shoulder to shoulder experience with them. So I think patience, I think logic, us as engineers, we tend to use logic and just pure data to solve a lot of problems. And for a lot of things that works, but that isn't always the case for people. I think you have to be empathetic. You have to be emotionally intelligent. I think I learned a lot from books and training around emotional intelligence, in addition to just having to work with people and not just direct reports, but people that don't report to you as well. How do you handle a difficult conversation? Wow, that's a big depend. So I think for me, having those difficult conversations was the hardest thing. But I was just, my experience, I tell myself before and after a difficult conversation or a difficult situation, I just repeat to myself, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to do the best that I can with the information that I have and the experience and the resources that I have at the moment. I think that's helped me feel more comfortable when I first started out managing, and know that it's not just the next level. It's not, senior developer, senior software engineer, or architect and then manager. You really, it's an altogether different job title, to be honest. And you find yourself not just being a manager, but a therapist, a coach, and a mentor.
Yeah, it's totally different. So being patient is what I hear, being patient with yourself, being kind, that it is difficult. Managing people's, they're not logical. They're not like computers. They're not so predictable. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's your workday like? How do you manage like all the things you have to do as a manager? How do you organize yourself?
I have a lot of standing meetings in addition to ad hoc meetings, in addition to meetings that I'm just invited to last minute. And it's usually with my staff, my peers, senior management and executives, and then sometimes initiative specific working sessions. So emails for me can be very distracting. So I think if they're not managed properly, they can be real disruptors in my day-to-day. So I try to keep a task list in Outlook ordered by date and time and sensitivity. I take about 5 to 10 minutes of the top of my day to review and refine my to-dos in the morning, and usually sometimes in the evening before I end my day. So I try to refine and rank what's important to get accomplished that day. And then everything else I set aside either for tomorrow, the end of the week, next month, depending on their priority. So I think, and also one thing I would share is that if I need to accomplish something time sensitive, I will sometimes close Outlook. I will put myself on do not disturb. And you would be surprised what you can accomplish with 15 to 30 minutes of uninterrupted time.
So creating some blocks of focus time. Got mm-hmm. it. Could you share, is there maybe an internet resource or tool that you depend on that you really like that helps you in your work?
I think my top three right now are LinkedIn, medium.com and Slack. LinkedIn, because of topic focus groups you can join and collaboration with folks in my field. I know a lot of the people in my network. So I think there's some comfort with sharing and asking for advice, whether publicly or one-to-one. There's also a lot of groups that are theme focused. So if you have an interest or a passion for a theme, you can join the group. And there's a lot of good guidance and advice shared there. Medium.com keeps my fingertips on the pulse of new trends, new technology. If there is a a controversy about a technology or an anti-pattern, usually I can count on medium.com to give me the lowdown on that. It's usually tech and process on Medium. And then Slack is such a rich opportunity. I really used it earlier this year when I was in my job search, and I belong to, I don't know how many Slack channels and workspaces, but I like it because it's organized by theme and topic, and you can contribute to as much as you want or as little. And I've always found it very valuable in terms of advice, in terms of book recommendations. Actually, just the other day, I posted on several of them if anyone had any advice for someone that's considering a solution architect role and path. And I got some very good information. So I think Slack is very rich. And also, if you just want to vent, you just want to look at pictures of food. I think Slack is a nice little rich community that I've used a lot recently.
These are good. Obviously, LinkedIn's really great. I work at LinkedIn now. And Slack, I'd love to hear, maybe later we could just share in the notes if you have some specific Slack communities that you like or LinkedIn groups that you think might be good for listeners. If you could recommend one book to managers, what would it be and why?
I think my number one book would be Working with Emotional Intelligence by Dan Goleman. I think this book was one of the first ones that I read about the amygdala hijack attack, which kind of prompts us to fight or flight. And then it goes into this deep, and it's not just psychology soft stuff. There's a lot of biology and science to how we react to certain situations. So I think that was the first book that I read about, whoa, dealing with people is very complex. So that led me to read more emotional intelligence books and also attend at least 2 EI training courses.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. What is your approach to mentoring and coaching members of your team?
Ooh, I try to listen to what my team is asking for. So we mentioned patience a little bit, and that was tough for me to get it initially. As developers, we're problem solvers, we're very logical, and we see a solution and we say, why can't you think like that? So I think sometimes it may not be as easy as it sounds. So I find that feelings of or lack of trust and support are themes that exist in many staff and projects, but they're hard to discuss. And I think you have to have a good comfort level with your team, establish that rapport. As soon as you get that trust and they feel that they're supported, I just feel like I've made leaps and bounds of connections with team members. And I'm also getting better at not solving or fixing a problem if someone just wants to be heard. And a lot of times I find myself that people come to me, oh, I have this problem. But once we start talking about it, not necessarily solutioning it, but just start speaking about the problem out loud or putting it in a whiteboard, they have a good idea of what the solution is already. I'm just the sounding board. I think that's one way. Another way is allowing team members to come up with the solutions on their own and you asking guiding questions, not necessarily giving answers. I think because it doesn't help me as much because maybe I've solved similar problems like that in the past. I'm not getting much value of that. And also they're not getting the benefit of having that experience of problem solving and talking things out and coming up with solutions on their own, which I think is the best way to learn and retain.
Yeah, like lots of coaches, like they haven't actually solved the problem themselves, but they lead you down a path to solve it or how you think about it. So Jorge, you've been like very generous with your time. Thank you so much for coming on to Managers Club. You've been a great guest and I really enjoyed speaking with you. Where could people go to learn more about you if they wanted to connect with you or just learn more about you?
Sure. At least two or three different ways right now. My LinkedIn, I'm on there often. It's one of the tabs on my Chrome browser and I can share my LinkedIn profile. But if you look for Jorge Salas in Chicago, there aren't too many of me. So LinkedIn's number one. Number two, I'm also an actor. I dabbled that. That's my hobby. You can find my profile on Backstage if you search for Jorge Salas actor or backstage.com. And lastly, I'm going to be giving a presentation for the Treehouse organization. They have a conference, coming up early December 9th. I'll be presenting there. The session's called So You Want to Be in Tech.
That's great. I'll put links to those. Actually, let me ask you one more question, Jorge. I forgot this. You do acting and improv, you mentioned. Is there anything like in acting and improv that's maybe helped you in engineering leadership? Like, is there anything you want to say about that? Because it's pretty unique.
Yes, I initially took improv at the Second City as a professional career training course. I wanted to get more out of my comfort zone and think more on the fly or off the cuff. So I took one improv course. I really liked it. I had a lot of fun. And so I ended up taking five courses, the entire core level at the Second City, had a lot of fun.
Wow. And has acting and comedy helped you in your work? This is pretty interesting.
Yeah, the improv definitely helped me feel more comfortable off the cuff going. When one starts a project or there's a plan, pretty much the plan changes as soon as you stop writing. Surprises, handling things a little bit more gradually, or when you're asked to speak on the spot. Also being more comfortable speaking to medium and large audiences too. And then lastly, I would say with the acting, et cetera, and improv as well, being able to reach audiences with a very common denominator approach and knowing who your audience is and maybe not going so deep.
So it's helped you connect with people?
Yeah, I think just being comfortable speaking in front of people, whether you're interviewing, whether you're giving a presentation, at the end of the day, it's a performance. I think you're either selling yourself in the context of an interview or you're selling an idea, you're selling an approach. So I think that's how it's helped me.
I think that's great. I know a lot of people who want to get better at that. Like they do things like Toastmasters, but you're the first person I met who did improv and acting. So I think that's really unique. Okay. Thank you for sharing. Again, thank you so much for being on Managers Club and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. I hope you found this interview valuable. For more interviews, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and visit the Managers Club website at www.managersclub.com to find additional resources, interviews, transcripts, and a couple books that I wrote on engineering management to help and inspire you. Thank you.